Well, greetings in Jesus' name. It's a privilege to be here. This morning, I would like to look at God as our provider, and I'd like to take a look at how God provided for his people in the land of Egypt. The Bible says that the Old Testament was given to us for our learning. And I'd like to, if we could, many times when we look at what happened in Egypt with God's people, we tend to, you know, look in at one part and we see, you know, Joseph, or we see, you know, Israel later on. And I would like to just try to step back and take a little bigger picture, try to see how God provided in many of these different ways and for over many years. So I'm going to read a bit of reading. It's just, yeah, many different verses to bring in the different ways where we can see God's hand and how he provided. And the story starts with Joseph in Genesis 39. Verse 1 says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." So we see God's provision starting way back when he goes out to his brothers. We know the story, how they throw him in a pit, they sell him to Egypt. But God is God, and he was working. He saw a much greater picture. He saw a famine that was coming. And these, at this point, they had no idea. They had no idea of the famine that was to come and of all the things that would happen there. So God, this is how God got Joseph to Egypt. Genesis 41, verse 14. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it.' So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace.'" So this is, you see God's hand in bringing Joseph out of the prison. They don't yet see the famine. They don't know about the famine. But God needs Joseph out of prison at this point. You know, and so he provides. He makes Pharaoh have a dream, and then they're searching for a man. And no one can tell the meaning of the dream. And God provides and brings Joseph out of prison. Genesis 41, verse 44. "Pharaoh also said to Joseph, 'I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt.' And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him as wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended. So there Joseph was. He was in a place, he was a humble man. He was a man that God could use, and God had him in that right place where he needed a man to save a lot of people. And you know, Joseph, nor his family, nor his brothers, his parents, none of them could have designed that to work this way. But God had a plan. He provided for them. Then the famine came, and here we go back to Israel, Joseph's father. Genesis 46, verse 2. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. And I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. So later on we look at Israel, at Israel's descendants, and we see them struggling desperately in this foreign land of Egypt. We see them being made to work very hard and just going through extremely, extremely difficult times. But did God know that? Did this God who was telling him, go on down to Egypt, he knew that. He knew that. But he told him clearly, he said, go there, I'm going to make you a great nation there. And so he went. God is a provider. Genesis 47, verse 6. This is when Joseph's family got there to Egypt. The land of Egypt is before you. This is Pharaoh talking to Joseph. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. So here we have God providing for them the best of the land of Egypt. The best. Okay, so then a lot of time went past, and another Pharaoh, and it seems like there may have been two more, like, till things got really bad. It might have been 2 or 3 pharaohs down the line, I'm not sure exactly, but seemed like at least 2, and it got so bad. They had them working now as slaves. Now they were no longer nice to the Israelites, and they realized they were multiplying greatly, and these people were just expanding. It was just quite an army of people. And they began to make them work very hard as slaves, making bricks. And they became so opposed to them that the Pharaoh told them there to kill all the baby boys. And he told the midwives this, that you're to kill every baby boy of the Israelites. Can you imagine the terrible, terrible way they were in, and the grief that was in their hearts. But it says God provided. It says that the midwives believed in God, and they did not kill the baby boys. There was God had in place. He provided midwives that were, they were God-fearing people, and they did not go along with this. And then we have in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, this is after Moses was spared. We know the story of Moses, how he was spared. He was put in the little basket boat, and God spared him that way when Pharaoh's daughter came and she had pity on him, and he grew up. And later he was out in the wilderness taking care of sheep. Exodus 3, verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So here we have God talking to Moses. We have God, he had Moses spared, and he had Moses at the place where he needed Moses to be. And he calls on Moses to come to lead the people out of Egypt. He provided for them. And then Moses says that he doesn't know how to speak, and he had excuses of... And God still provided for them. He said, I'll give you Aaron to be your spokesman. And they worked together as a team for many, many years. God provided. Okay, I just want to take note here of when they go to Pharaoh, of just the spirit, the attitude that Pharaoh had. Exodus 5, verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Later on we will see that Pharaoh learned who the Lord was. Maybe at this time he didn't know and he didn't care, but we see later on that he found out who the God of heaven was. So we have the story how God brought plagues into Egypt because of this hard-hearted Pharaoh. God had to bring plague after plague until the land was just basically destroyed. There was so much destruction till Pharaoh's heart was soften enough to let the people go. There was a plague of the water turning to blood. There was a plague of frogs, a plague of lice, a plague of flies, plague on the livestock that they died, a plague of boils on man and beast, a hailstorm. And I noticed when you read about the plague of hail, how Moses announced that tomorrow, he said, this time, there's going to be a hailstorm like Egypt never knew before. And it says that some of Pharaoh's servants called their people in. They were quickly gathering. They believed. There was some of Pharaoh's servants. They understood when Moses says, God's going to send hail, there's hail coming tomorrow. With no question. And they says that some of them got their men and their animals in. They were beginning to believe. They learned to fear God. There was a plague of locusts that ate everything green that the hail left behind. There was darkness for 3 days. And then the death of the firstborn. Can turn to Exodus 12. Exodus 12 and verse 1. We see here God providing a plan of salvation. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So here God provided a clear plan of what they should do. Skip down to verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We shall all be dead. So here we notice how God did a work. God did a work in Pharaoh's heart, and his heart, his attitude was totally different from the beginning, what we see in the beginning. And they were begging God's people to go. The next thing I would like to notice how God provided for Israel is in chapter 13, verse 17. So God took them out of Egypt. And it says, Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, Lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly rank out of the land of Egypt. So God had mercy on them. God realized that Israel was, so they, can you imagine like how it was for them as, you know, they're in this day-to-day grind of just make brick, make brick, make more brick. That was the cry. And you didn't make enough brick and make more brick. And you didn't fill your quota, make brick. You know, this was their life. This was what these men were doing for so long. And they were just in that. And to come out from that, they were in no way prepared to fight battles. And God had mercy on them. God provided for them. He said, I'm going to take you around by the way of the wilderness because you're not prepared to go straight to the land of Canaan because there's battles to fight between here and Canaan. And so he had mercy on them. He provided for them. Verse 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So here we have God providing light and guidance. The cloud moved. You know, it was beautiful, like, to follow a cloud, it made it all of a sudden very simple. How do you find your way through a wilderness? Through a place these people didn't even know. But God was there, and he provided for them. He gave them direction. He gave them a clear way. You just follow this cloud, and he put his fire there to give them light. He provided light and guidance for their journey. Turn over to Exodus 14. In verse 19. So here we have, they came out, they came to the Red Sea. Israel was camped by the sea, and Pharaoh gets this idea, we need to go get these people back. So Pharaoh comes with his army, and he's coming, and we have God providing for them again. Verse 19, And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. So here God moves to the back of their crowd, and he's shining light on them, and it must have been incredible darkness on the other side. I just picture them wandering around so dark they don't even know what's going on. And it was God. It was God and stood between. Verse 21 and 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And it says the Egyptians pursued after them. And we know how the story ended. They cross over the Red Sea. The Egyptians are in there. I mean, you would think, I mean, it just seems like looking at the story that as an Egyptian, you would have been deathly scared to go into this water when water's doing strange things. I mean, I don't know, but they were just so blinded, so with their hard heart, like just, they're just right in after him. Like, how did you think you're going to get out of there? You know, when water's standing up, like a wall on each side of you. But anyway, they did. They came in after him, and God had provided a dry path right through the sea for his people. And when the Egyptians were in the middle of the sea, God's taken their wheels off their chariots, and right away when that happened, it says they knew, they said that God's fighting for them, you know, like we're in trouble. They knew they're in big trouble. And then God left the water come back in, told Moses stretch out his rod over the water, and the water washed away the Egyptians. So God spared them. God provided for them in a marvelous way. Go over yet to chapter 15 and verse 23. So here we have them traveling through the wilderness. Verse 22 ends, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. So here they're out in the wilderness, and they need water. Here they find water, and the water is bitter. They can't drink it. And it says that God provided for them by showing Moses a tree that he could put into the water, and it made the water sweet, and they could drink it. Isn't that amazing? And then I love verse 23, how they came to Elim, and there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And so they camped there by the waters. I think that must have been a beautiful thing to see when you had been thirsty. You're out there looking for water, looking for water. Find water, and it's disappointing because it's bitter. And God gets you water, but then you get to a place where there's 12 wells and 70 palm trees. That must have been a good day. But God provided for them abundantly. And we could go on and on how God provided for Israel. You know, how he worked with them. He had patience with them. He was their provider. And today, I just hope we can draw from this some lessons that we can rely on God and trust God to provide for us, to be our provider, even in the time when it looks so bad. Even if we find ourselves in a place where it feels like we're like the children of Israel when you're making bricks. And it feels like you're never going to get out of this place. But God is a provider, and he will make a way for you. And he wants to provide for you. Many times in the middle of hard circumstances, the hardship will become bigger in our mind than it really is. And you just, you know, it's hard to see out. It's hard to have faith that God can make a way out of this. And I remember when I was 17 years old with a deal I had going with my work. I was working on a farm. And I remember distinctly feeling that way. Like, it just seemed like there was just no road out. Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? You know, I'm just saying, to me, at that time, in that place, when you're right there in the middle of it, it can be very hard to see out. But the devil wants to use that to discourage us. And we must hold on to God. We need to have faith in God that he is a provider that can make a way, and that he cares about us, even in that place where it seems so difficult, as he does. And we can look back at this story, and we can see all the ways God was preparing, you know, years before they were in that crisis. God was preparing things. He was lining things up. He was putting people in place. He was, you know, God has a plan. And we don't see that plan many times. We don't see much of that plan. But God is providing for us, and he's making a way. I'd just like to look at a few parallels yet from this that we can see from the story in Egypt. Parallels to us today. Our lives. We see how the people were born here. We're born into a sinful world. And why? For God to show his power. These people, this was generations after Israel had come down to Egypt. They were born there. And God had them there so he could show his power to the nations. Egypt is a type of bondage of sin and the bondage of self-serving. Egypt was a real bondage to these people. And that is how sin and self-serving are for us today. The devil wants to bring us into bondage. Pharaoh could represent the devil, who is a wicked and a cruel master. The taskmasters who were calling for more and more brick could represent the desires of the flesh that are never satisfied. You know, desires of the flesh. If we live after the flesh, those desires are never satisfied. And it just reminds me of those taskmasters. Just more brick. We need more brick. You know, you need to make more brick. You didn't do enough of brick. And that's the bondage that, and I see people struggling in that with sin. There's sin and there's self-serving and it's just, you know, just never enough. You never can get enough money. You never can get enough things to try to make you happy. The plagues could represent the judgment on sin and the tormenting results of sin. Sin is very, very difficult. I see people who live in sin, and sin brings bad consequences in their life, and yet they keep sinning, and yet you keep going in this hard road. And it's very, very difficult, very tormenting. The hardness of Pharaoh's heart shows the stubbornness of rebellion. Just seemed like Pharaoh, like, surely he could have seen that this wasn't going to work to fight against God and his people. But he just kept on and kept on until finally even his servants were telling him, "Don't you know that Egypt is destroyed?" They said at the one point. It was just destruction after destruction, and he just kept banging his head on the wall. And they said, "Don't you know that Egypt is destroyed?" But rebellion is very stubborn. God provided the way out of Egypt as he provides for us freedom from self and sin. The children of Israel there, they didn't have to come up with the plan how to get out. All they had to do was obey the plan. Just listen to what the way that God made, the way God provided. All they had to do was to listen to it, to submit to it, to say, "Yes, we're going to do this." God provided the way out of Egypt. And he provides for us the way to be free from self and sin. Moses is a type of Christ as our leader and guide. Jesus is a tender shepherd. He wants to lead us and guide us. Every household had to bring a lamb. And I believe that represents for us the need of surrendering ourselves to the Spirit of God. God made the plan of salvation, but I need to surrender. I need to bring myself and say, "Yes, Lord, I give myself to you." The blood of the Lamb painted on the doorposts of the house represents the blood of Christ applied to the doorposts of my heart. And that's the greatest provision God has given to us, that we can be free from sin. He gave us everything we need to be free, to have peace, to have joy, because he's a provider. God bless you.